It's from John 10, verses 11 to 18, and it continues our series on Jesus saying, I am. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Thank you. So it's World Cup final day. It's been a bit of a roller coaster, hasn't it, of emotions, the World Cup. I'm one of those people that I don't really care about football, but then when the World Cup comes, I really do care. I get really into it. So, I was a bit disappointed, shall we say. But hey, that's how it is. I was going to wear a waistcoat today. I don't know if anybody will get that reference, but I didn't in the end. It's too hot. We're looking at the sayings of Jesus when he speaks about I am. And I was just reflecting as I was preparing this talk on how important that is for us as followers of Jesus, that Jesus would say to us, this is who I am. This is who I am. And then he goes on to tell a story or share a picture. And for those of us who are trying to follow Jesus, this is essential information for us because we want to become more like Jesus. That's what this whole thing's about. As being Christians and this church existing, and that's kind of our mission, is to become more like Jesus. So when Jesus says to us, this is who I am, we really need to listen and take notice, because it's foundational stuff for who we are as individuals and as a church, to recognize what Jesus is saying here. So there's a nice picture for a Sunday morning. Jesus the Good Shepherd. I heard recently about a man who worked in an off-license, and he was given a very low wage. He was kind of on the minimum wage, and his boss wasn't very nice, and he worked awful hours. And one night, somebody came in with a gun, and they said, give us all the money out of the cash register, give us all the cigarettes that are behind you. And the man said that, he said, yeah, of course. And in fact, he got a bag, and he helped him get all the money in. He said, do you want to take anything else? Because he didn't like his job, he wasn't paid very much, he hated his boss. He was in a terrible, you know, situation, and he wasn't bothered about, you know, trying to protect the stuff in the shop because, you know, he had so little care for it. In this morning passage, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is the hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Jesus sets up this contrast between a shepherd who owns the sheep and loves them and will give everything for them, and it's his whole livelihood, and he knows them by name, and he knows each one. He contrasts that with a hired hand, someone who's paid to just come along and to look after the sheep. But yet when the wolf comes, there's two different responses, isn't there? Because for the hired hand, a bit like the man working in the off-license, he doesn't care. So, you know, if there's a threat coming, if a wolf is coming towards him, he's just going to run. He's not going to put his life on the line for these sheep when he's not paid very much and they're not his own sheep. The contrast is that the shepherd goes to face the wolf and takes on the wolf, and he's willing to lay down his life to protect his sheep because they're his sheep, because he owns them and he loves them. And this is the picture that we're given, that Jesus is the good shepherd. He knows his sheep, and he loves his sheep, and he'll give anything for them. And actually, the hired hand, the contrast, I suppose, if we have Jesus as the good shepherd, the picture for the hired hand would maybe be like a cult leader, someone who's in it for their own ego and trying to get people to follow them. But yet, if things go wrong, they're going to move off somewhere else to a new town and set up a new cult because they don't care about the people, they care about their ego. And Jesus is saying, I'm not like that. I'm not the hired hand. I am the good shepherd. And of course, when Jesus paints that picture of a good shepherd laying down his life, for us as Christians, you know, as we come today and we break bread and drink the wine, there's so much meaning in that, that the shepherd lays down his life. He doesn't run away. He stays and he fights. And of course, the wolf in this picture, the enemy that Jesus is facing and that he's laying down his life, the wolf is sin and death and the devil and hell itself. Jesus is saying, I'm not going to run away from that enemy. I'm going to run towards it and I'm going to lay down my life and I'm going to destroy that wolf. And I'm doing it not just for me, but for my sheep. And we'll see later that it's not just those sheep. He also talks about other sheep. It's a much bigger picture. And this picture of the Good Shepherd goes back a long way. If we were to look in Ezekiel, one of the prophets in the Old Testament, chapter 34 of Ezekiel is all about shepherds and sheep. Ezekiel writes, "The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel." Now, he's not talking just about people who look after sheep. He's talking about the leaders of that community. And he says to them, "You have not strengthened the weak, or healed the sick, or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays." He goes on, "I myself will search for my sheep and look after them." It's a picture of God making a move towards the people. He's appointed leaders to look after the people, but they're not doing their job properly. And so God is going to have to step in. He says, "I will shepherd the flock with justice. I will save my flock." He goes on, "They will know that I am the Lord when I break the bars of their yoke and rescue them." God is on a rescue plan. Of course, the whole of the Old Testament and the New Testament is about that rescue plan, isn't it? In the Old Testament, you know, it's the Israelites who are in slavery and they're rescued from slavery. In the New Testament, we are slaves to sin and Jesus comes and he rescues us. And here we have this picture of a shepherd who comes to save the sheep. And the relationship is like this. There's the Father God, there's the Son, Jesus, and there's people. And there's a bond of love between those things. And we see in this shepherd-sheep analogy and the way that Ezekiel talks about God as the shepherd, and then Jesus comes and says, "I am that shepherd." Jesus is saying, "I am God, and I am that shepherd." So there's God, there's shepherd, and there's the sheep. And we're a part of that because God, the good shepherd, Jesus, the good shepherd, loves us and wants us to be in relationship to him and to know him. It's interesting when you look at verse 16. Jesus says, "I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd." And when Jesus says to these people, "There are other sheep," he's meaning those who are not Jews. He's speaking to a largely Jewish audience, and he's saying to them, "You're not the only sheep. There are more sheep. There are no boundaries to God's blessing and God's love." And it's hard for us to imagine how that would have sounded in that society where there was so much hatred and violence and sectarianism, where people were in little groups and who you were was defined by which group you belonged to and who you hated was defined by which group you belonged to. So we hated the Samaritans or we hate the Pharisees or we hate the Sadducees or we hate that group or those people aren't even Jews and we definitely hate those. And Jesus comes to them and says, "There are other sheep. This is bigger than just you. And they will hear my voice, and they will come to me." One flock, one shepherd. Jesus is the way, and he's saying, "I'm the way, not just for you people, but for all people." I was thinking about this in terms of other denominations, because we are one flock with one shepherd. So think about here in Starbeck, across the road we have the Methodist Church, and then behind them we have Life Destiny Church. Around the corner we have Starbeck Mission, and then over the railway line we have St. Elrod's Roman Catholic Church. And then behind us on a Sunday afternoon we have a new church that's meeting called Apostolic Life Ministries. And all these different churches have one shepherd. And we are all one flock. We meet in different groups, in different sheep pens, if you will. But actually, we all have one shepherd, and we are all one flock. We are all brothers and sisters. And that's true globally as well. Throughout the world, we have one shepherd. The thing that unites us is faith in Jesus Christ. Some of us have organs, some of us have bands, some of us don't have any music, some of us have all our prayers written down, some of us have projectors, some don't have any prayers written down. But we all have one flock, we all have one shepherd, and we are all part of one flock. Later in the year, we're going to be running an Alpha course together with the Methodist Church and LDC and Apostolic Life Ministries. We're going to be meeting in Costa on the High Street, getting people together to learn about Jesus. And we can do that because we all have the same shepherd. So we can join together and we can bless each other and we can bless this community as one flock with one shepherd. Jesus says, I lay down my life. And Jesus says this, not just as a nice picture, Jesus has actually received death threats. We've seen that in the passages before this. And the reason for that is Jesus is saying, I am the Son of God. Not just, I am a child of God, just like we're all children of God, you know, we're all sons and daughters of the King. No, he's saying, I am the Son of God. And that's what gets him into trouble. He's putting himself in line with God. And to the Jewish rulers and Jewish hearers, this is terrible. This is blasphemy. And the punishment for blasphemy is death. So we hear really clearly that there's a few things that Jesus says, and afterwards it says that the Pharisees and the Sadducees were plotting. The religious leaders were plotting, how are we going to kill him? We know we need to kill him, so how should we do it? Jesus knows that that is coming. So when he says, I lay down my life, he knows that it's coming. But listen to what he says. He says, the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Jesus knows he's going to die, but he's saying, I am in control of this. I am choosing to do this. This is not something that's just being done to me. I'm not being nailed to a cross just against my will. I am choosing to do this. Jesus could at any point get out of it because he's God, but he doesn't. He chooses to go through it. I lay down my life to take it up again. See, the sheep are in danger. The wolf is coming. And the wolf is going to kill and destroy the sheep. But Jesus, the good shepherd, goes towards the wolf and takes on the wolf and destroys it. This is the story of Jesus' death and resurrection, is that he lays down his life for the sheep, for us. He gives his life so that he can destroy sin and death and the devil and hell. And he does it to save the sheep, because they're his sheep. And he loves them, and he made them. So it's sad that the shepherd is going to die, but it's good that the shepherd is coming back. And it's also good that there's other sheep. It's not just for us, for those who are on the inside. It's for all people. It's for those who are on the outside as well. But it's very much a choice, and it's a decision that Jesus makes. And I was thinking about how we have to make a choice too. Because Jesus says, doesn't he, greater love has no one that they would lay down their life for their friends. That's the ultimate act of love. And this is echoed throughout Scripture in lots and lots of places. So we see in John 13, verses 37 and 38, where Peter is speaking to Jesus and he says, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you, says Peter. And Jesus replies, will you really lay down your life for me? I tell you the truth, before the cock crows, you will disown me three times. But Peter goes on, he learns from that mistake, he gains humility, and he goes on to realize that what actually following Jesus means is laying down your life. And of course, those early disciples, those apostles, that's what they did. They laid down their life, some of them literally being killed for the faith. Another passage in 1 John. First letter of John, chapter 3, verse 16. John writes this. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. But it doesn't stop there. He goes on. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. We need to lay down our lives for each other. What does that mean? Does that mean that we need to die? We need to, like, physically die? Well, no, because God can do much more with us when we're alive. And if we're not dead yet, this is the news for us, if we're not dead yet, Jesus still has stuff for us to do. There's still things that he needs us to do. But we need to lay down our lives. We need to give of ourselves. In Matthew 10, verse 39, Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. It's that upside down, paradoxical logic of the kingdom of God. Whoever finds his life will lose it. If you're living your life constantly wanting more and more and, you know, wanting everything to be just right, then you'll find that you lose it. But actually, if you lay down your life for Jesus, you'll find that you find it. When you let go of your own kind of selfish dreams and desires and give your life to Jesus, you find actually what you find, you think, I'm going to have to give up my life for this. But as you do that, you realize you have real life, true life, life in all its fullness. And this is the story of so many Christians throughout history, is that they give up on their ambitions, they give everything to Jesus, and they find that true life is waiting for them. Not an easy life, but true life. One more passage from John this time, chapter 5, verse 24. I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. The moment we decide to live for Jesus, we have already moved from death to life. That's why when I give you the bread at communion, I say, the body of Christ, keep you in everlasting life. Not may this bread be the ticket you get to everlasting life, but you're already in it. You're living this life now, and you will pass from this life into eternal life because you believe in Jesus and because you belong to him, because you're one of the sheep. The question is, are we willing to lay down our lives? I came across this quote this week. It says, Jesus doesn't help you realize your spiritual potential. He makes you realize that you're dead. And as dead, you are in the perfect and only state in which he can make you truly alive again. We have to realize that by ourselves we are dead and that we need him. And when we realize that, then we get true life. The question is, are you ready to die in order that you may truly live? In conclusion, Jesus is the good shepherd. He lays down his life for us. And good doesn't just mean, you know, in English, the word good is quite a weak word. And we'd say, oh, that's good. You know, that painting you've done is good. Or you've done, you know, you've behaved well, so you are good. No, the word in the original language means more like beautiful, but not beautiful on the outside, not to look at a painting or to look at a person and say they're beautiful, but beautiful on the inside, like a deep heart, something that's deep inside their character is beautiful. Therefore, it draws you to it. You're compelled to move towards it. And this is the kind of shepherd that Jesus is. We are compelled because he lays down his life for us, because he loves us. We are drawn to him. We're also drawn to help others discover him because we recognize his goodness. It's about loving and growing. It's about dying and living, finding out that we have true life. We're going to sing a song now, and this song has an amazing line in it that says, the wonderful cross of Jesus bids me to come and die and find that I may truly live. To come and die and find that I may truly live. Adrian didn't know the song very well, so I'm going to lead it on guitar. So I'm just going to grab the guitar. And I want us to use this as a way of reflecting on these words.